And good afternoon. Welcome to the Football Full Disclosure. It's correct. First time round. There we go. This is game week 11. So we're going to shake it up a little bit. Usually we'd start with our beloved Liverpool, but you know, we're gonna mix it around a little. Not for any other reason. Let's go into it. Spurs hosted United. Inconsistent Spurs. And Obviously coming from a very good Champions League game, had a 2-2 draw with United.
Yeah, which they should have won, really. They're 2-1 up. I mean, they got their goals late. And Mbeumo, doing well.
He's doing well. Man of the match, or he was player of the month even.
Yeah, I mean, he'll probably win a lot of awards for United this season. He will be a very good signing for them, yes. It seems, which is disappointing. Would have taken him at Liverpool. In fact, I think he'd fit into any squad in the Premier League.
I've said it several times. He would have been the perfect profile of the player to replace Salah with. But anyway, alas. Mm. It's a good point for United, you would argue.
I think in the end, because...
It's like 7 games unbeaten.
Yeah, I mean, Spurs goals were quite late, 84 and 90 plus one. But then when you're in that position, you're thinking, right, we should see this game out now.
I could.
And then what happens? Dilett pops up at 90 plus six to make it 2-2. Lots of drama towards the end. But yeah, I'll be disappointed if I'm a Spurs supporter because they've came very close. United have been better. I mean, things seem to be looking up for them.
Stabilizing, you would argue. I think that three at the back, it's, you know, and you could argue that Amorim is proving that you can play three at the back in the Premier League.
Well, it's taken a bit of time. We'll see. Well,
it's taken a year.
Yeah, we'll see. But I mean, certainly they're looking better. They did sign a couple of players that I wasn't sure how they'd fit them exactly into the system they're playing, but it seems to be working okay now. So we'll see. Hopefully it won't continue for the rest of the season.
Oh, let's hope not.
But
God, they're above us. That's shocking. Mm. They are above us, aren't they? Gosh, anyway, let's move on.
Let's move on quickly.
Got some shivers there. Oh,
we've gone very quickly.
Everton and Fulham, a 2-0 win for Everton. This is, I think, Everton quietly just getting on with it. David Moyes, obviously, he's a club he knows incredibly well. I feel like you know what you're going to get from Everton this season. A mid-table finish. And if they're lucky, maybe in the lower part of the top half. But Moyes is... He's one of the top managers, you would argue, in the Premier League, surely.
For clubs in that kind of position, I think he does quite well. He did really well with Everton before, didn't he? And then he moved on.
And he moved on and we know how that worked out.
Yeah, it didn't work out for him. But ultimately, he's come back and for Everton, they'll just be happy that they're not in relegation battles.
No.
So, I mean, if it's a mid-table finish and stability, for a lot of clubs, that's kind of what you want, is it? Let's just get things back to where we are kind of happy enough with them, you know, where we don't have to worry every year that we're going to be in a relegation battle and then we try and move forward. Yeah, Moyes will do a job, but I don't think he'll ever do more than get them top half finishes, maybe into Europe, but like the lower echelons of Europe, if you like.
That's the conference,
exactly. Yeah. I don't think he'll be able to do a lot more than that. And then what happens? Maybe they get somebody else in again, try and take it to the next level. We'll see. This is kind of a recurring theme, though, isn't it?
I don't think so. I think the job of Moyes, obviously, Everton had these last few years of, you know, a bit of instability with, you know, several different managers. And I think the job of Moyes, especially with a new stadium, is to bring, you know, a bit of stability back to the club, a feel-good factor. I think that's the word I'm looking for. And, you know, have the supporters smiling, enjoying football again, because it's been weird for them, isn't it?
Rough.
You know, it's been rough. They've escaped relegation like 2 or 3 seasons in a row. Remember Frank Lampard? He's done quite well, actually, at... where is he at these days? He's
Coventry.
Probably be
back in the Prem next year, by the way things are going.
There was a whole thing, The Athletic, about is he a good manager? And they apparently apologised to Frank Lampard. But anyway, yeah, Everton, you know, Moyes will bring the feel-good factor back to them. And you'd hope that because... You know, a lot has happened. But then when he moves on, because, you know, you can't be a 90-year-old manager, right? No. So they'll have to find someone with a similar profile of Everton because, you know, when you think Moyes, you think Everton, don't you? So
I'm going to use a word that we used a lot last year on the podcast, but I don't think we've used it much this year so far.
What's the word?
Identity.
Oh, yes.
Yeah, so like, I think Everton need to find an identity and then stick with that identity. And I think, And I think this is going to roll in. I'm not going to bring it up now because we're going to talk about them later. But I think that rolls into some issues that our team have had and why this season has been a bit different. But we'll touch on it. And it kind of is related to identity. Let's make identity the theme of the day.
The theme of the day, identity. There we go. Let's move on to a team that definitely needs a bit of identity. West Ham, who hosted Burnley. Second win.
Yeah, it's looking a bit better for them again.
A little bit better.
But we like the manager, I think, don't we? I think we can agree.
Nuno Espirito Santo.
Decent manager. And I think sooner or later you're going to start getting results. It was starting to look a bit worrying for them. I mean, it still is, let's be honest.
It's a second win for them at home, something that had been basically hadn't happened for a while. They hadn't won at home in for almost a year, if not, prior to the previous win. So, you know, we like him. We like him because identity, right? He brings an identity to a club. He did that, obviously, at Wolves. He did that at Forest. And you'd hope he would bring that to West Ham as well.
Yeah, I mean, I think with a manager like him, although it still doesn't look great in terms of their league position,
no,
I would imagine they'll be fine because he is good enough to not be in that situation. Like, two home wins on the bounce. Yes, if they can keep this going and be more consistent at home, then more results will come, I think. You'd be expecting them to win this game against Burnley, wouldn't you?
You would. And when you say, you know, a club that should stay up, when you look at it on paper, they do have a decent squad. You know, Jared Bowen, I think, he's one of the outstanding players in the squad. He single-handedly, I think, last season, you know, carried them, you know, dragged them through games. And you're seeing that again this season. You know, he is just, you know, he's amazing. And, you know, he's obviously arguably a player that might be looking at a World Cup, going to the World Cup with England potentially. And, you know, he's proven that he deserves that just because of the job he's been doing at West Ham.
Yeah, agreed.
Yeah. Okay, Arsenal supporters. Finally, they conceded.
Yeah.
To Sunderland. So we're heading over to the Stadium of Light.
We are, yeah.
And
Sunderland will be disappointed, I think.
I think so. I think, you know, Sunderland, the team that are looking to challenge for the title, that's a couple of points dropped for them, isn't it?
Yeah, I think so.
Almost definitely for Sunderland. You know, it's so unfortunate that, you know, Arsenal have escaped Stadium of Light with a point. But in all seriousness, it's what's your take on that? I think they seem bullied at points.
I thought Sunderland were good. And, I mean, they've been good all season so far, haven't they? And I could kind of see them dropping, Arsenal dropping points against Sunderland. I could see them picking up something. Mm. Could have been a win.
I mean, it's eventually going to happen. You know, this is...
They will drop points.
They will drop points. It's absolutely normal. And, you know, Arsenal supporters keep going on about the fact that they believe they have an injury crisis. Do we believe that? Is there an injury crisis at Arsenal? Or is it just Arsenal supporters moaning again and looking for excuses for when they do have the eventual drop-off? Because that's my theory. I think they're making excuses right now in case things don't work out in their favour, to make an argument and say, oh, we've had an injury crisis. Oh, Yorkeris is injured. Jesus. Jesus has been injured for 2,000 years plus, etc., etc., etc. I don't believe that. They've got...
I mean, Havertz is out as well.
Havertz been out
for a while. I mean, they do have injuries.
They've got a big squad.
They do have injuries, but yeah, they have a pretty big squad. I think ultimately they were far more prepared for it this year than they were last year. Yes. But if they're picking up all these injuries, then again... Look at what's going on behind the scenes.
What's going on?
Take better care of them.
I think so, right?
You know what I mean? Just
maybe don't train so hard.
Yeah, don't train so hard, Arsenal. Just you know, have a few days off.
Yeah. So do you think Arsenal would be worried? Especially, you know, we're going to get onto Liverpool later. But...
Well, they're not going to be worried about us at the moment, no.
Well,
I think Man City would be the team.
It's the ominous City, isn't it? It's the last team you want chasing you down.
Yeah, we know from experience.
It's City.
It's not nice at all. because when City find a rhythm, and I mean they've been off it for a while, right?
The season
but
and
if
a bit.
if they kind of get back to how they used to do things and they start finding that rhythm, they can be very difficult. And we obviously will discuss them a bit later on in the show.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't think you're worrying if you're Arsenal. Sunderland are having a really good season.
What is it? 5 points still ahead of everyone else? Arsenal and
something like that, yeah.
Yeah, Sunderland, what, 19 points from it?
Sunderland, yeah, I mean, exactly. I think it's 4 points actually now.
Ooh.
And yeah, I mean, Sunderland are sitting in fourth on 19 points. So, I mean, they're having a a really, really, really good season. They've only lost twice all season so far. So, I mean, I think dropping points away from home to Sunderland. Of course, Arsenal had far more of the game.
Yes.
But Sunderland still looked good. I mean, they didn't have as many chances, but they still looked good. And they made their chances count. So.
Exactly.
And again,
they're no joke.
Like we talked about.
Yeah.
Playing a certain style. It's okay to play counter-attacking football against big teams. You don't have to go out there and try and play them at their own game.
No.
You have to be smart about how you do it. And it seems to me that's exactly how Sunderland are playing this season.
Lebris.
They're not afraid to mix things up and play in different ways.
Indeed.
Depending on who they're going up against. And that's what you should do, right?
Excellent. Well done to Sunderland, because it's quite refreshing to see a team coming up and not going straight back down again. But of course. But a team that we're fairly sure is going straight back down is Wolves. Dead.
Another bad result for them.
Oh, they're gone. It's over. What are they on? 2 points.
Yeah, still.
Zero wins. At this point in the league? At this point in the season?
No manager currently?
No manager currently.
Looks like Edwards is coming in, take over.
Why would you?
I can't see why it's an appealing job. The position they're in, it's going to be tricky.
Yeah.
And I mean, he went down with the last team that was in the Premier League with him,
which makes no sense why you would bring a man. What experience does he have in keeping them up when he's failed with the last team? Of course, the last team was with Luton. It was a different situation, obviously. But why would you? Why would you take on a role like that? You know, the morale must be rock bottom. Well,
sometimes a manager coming in can bring that back up again. And maybe he's got unfinished business. He thinks, you know what? This Wolves team is a stronger team than I had.
And they are probably a strong on paper.
But nowhere near as strong as they were last season.
No.
And it's still going to be a big, big ask. If he comes in and he can raise those spirits and get everyone singing from the same hymn sheet, as it were, then maybe, just maybe, he can get a few points here and there.
Yeah.
Then you build their confidence. But I can't see it happening.
Yeah. And what about Chelsea? I think this is a...
Chelsea, yeah.
A win you would expect.
You would expect it. Absolutely. At home to a team that
are
struggling.
Couple of assists for Garnacho. Maresca did make the point. He said, if you work hard, it will pay dividends. And you know, you're seeing that from him. He's working hard. He's a guy who could never really work out. You know, is he top quality player? Is he, you know, is he a mid-table kind of player? What is he? You know, he's Argentinian, which you always feel like there's a certain class there. But it just never worked out for him at United.
It didn't. And that's the thing. Was it because he was just in a team that was struggling? Or that he was quality, but he was just in a team that was struggling. Or that, I don't know. Yeah, I'm not sure. You never really got to see too much from him, did you, in terms of maybe what he could do? I mean, there were glimpses, obviously.
Absolutely. But, the bicycle kick.
Yeah, no, I mean, he had some moments. But I think he's playing in a team with lots... I mean, this is going to sound a bit disrespectful to United, but with a lot more quality, I think, Chelsea.
That's disrespectful.
I think they have a lot more quality in their team and have done for a while. I mean, they've got some big players, Chelsea, now. And, you know, obviously they spent a lot of money to get it as well. So, yeah maybe he is a lot better than a lot of people think he is. And now that he's got some better players around him, it's starting to show a little bit more.
And Amorim, I don't think, really ever fancied him. I think he just never really fit that mold of what Amorim wanted. Anyway, let's swiftly move on to Villa and Bournemouth. They needed to bounce back from that Liverpool loss. And wow, did they bounce back.
Yeah, against a team that had been doing well as well.
Very well. You know, it was four really good goals. I think they mentioned, I think, Aston Villa, their last four or five goals have been outside of the box. Just, they were a good side. I think that Liverpool loss was probably a blip. Probably, you know, in respect to how well we know they can be. And boy, did they show it. You know, they completely just outplayed Bournemouth.
Yeah, real team performance as well. Four different goal scorers. Mm. Semenyo misses a penalty as well.
I know.
You know what I mean? It could have been five.
Yeah.
So ultimately, really good performance. And Bournemouth are a team that I think everybody can agree are having a good season, have been good for a couple of
seasons.
And can pick up results pretty much against anyone.
Yeah.
So I think from a Villa point of view, this is a really, really positive result.
Yeah.
They had started to pick up a bit of steam, then obviously lost to us. Could have, you know, let their heads drop. But they didn't.
No.
They come back.
Not with the manager.
A really good win.
Yeah, very, very good win for them. Anyway, let's head over to the G-Tech Arena. Brentford, Newcastle. This was an interesting one because on paper, you know, I think, you know, it was a game of halves. And I think Newcastle in the first half played incredibly well, but Brentford are tough. And Collins, I believe the centre-back captain, literally mentioned, he said something along the lines of, we want Brentford, we want the G-Tech Arena to be a place that teams will do that when they look at the fixture and think, God, we have to go there. And actually, gosh, they picked up some points this season. They beat us, obviously. And did they let Newcastle know that they were not an easy team to play against?
Well, that's right. Yeah, Newcastle, I mean, I keep looking at these results and thinking, you know, Newcastle be expecting to pick up points here against Brentford. I mean, Brentford are a good team, don't get me wrong.
They're a good side, very
good.
But
you'd still be expecting as a Newcastle fan now, certainly with kind of the turnaround they've had as a club, they're certainly in a far better place than they had been in previous years. Mm. You know, they had a bit of influx of money, they bought some really good players. You'd expect them to be doing better, but it doesn't seem to be going very well for them at the moment, does it?
No.
They've had some really bad results of late, and it's disappointing, whether that's because they've got other priorities on their mind, maybe.
Champions League?
Yeah, they're playing well in Europe. But they're poor in the league.
Mm.
And obviously, from Newcastle fans, they're not going to be happy with that, because league performance, I think, for most football supporters, is the most important thing, and it's looking a bit grim at the moment.
I think a couple of talking points from that game was Brentford scored again from another throw-in, which they are utilising very, very well. Their striker, Igor Thiago, he has to be one to watch. That this guy is, he's fit. He's incredible. He keeps running. And it gets me thinking to the fact that when Thomas Frank left, people would have been thinking, actually, you know what, Brentford, this could be a team that's going down. But they trusted. There was something about Keith Edwards that they trusted, clearly. You know, they put their faith in a relative, I don't want to say unknown, he's played in the Premier League before, but he was a set-piece coach, and they trusted him, and they let him do the job. And I think they're exactly at the same point, you know, according to the BBC, they're exactly the same point as they were last season under Frank as they are this season. So it's business as you were.
Yeah, they're just picking up where they left off, aren't they? Yeah, good team, because, you know, they sell people as well. You know, they make some money. They sell kind of big name players, and they seem to do all right at getting people back in that do a decent job for them.
Yeah. Did you know they don't actually have an academy?
Youth academy? You told me this. It's all on just like kind of buy players in.
Yeah. Develop them.
For a couple of years, develop them. Yeah. Keep them for a few years, then flip them.
Ollie Watkins, he's another one. Brandon Boomer obviously come through. You know, they do smart business. You know, you'd argue that Henderson, you know, is incredibly, you know, Jordan Henderson is an incredibly smart business for them. Damsgaard, very good business for them. So, I mean, these are players that I would imagine maybe would move on in the next few years because it's the operating model of Brentford. But you know, they're doing a good job. A couple of VAR decisions, though, that came up. Dan Burns was sent off for a challenge, but there was an original first challenge where he makes a challenge on Utara and obviously, you know, makes contact, but VAR says no. Mm. What is that all about?
I don't know. Again, it's the same thing every week.
And there was a very clear contact. There was very, very clear contact, but for some reason, VAR deemed that as not clear and obvious.
I don't like the term clear and obvious, and I'm going to touch on it again later on. But
yeah,
I mean, I don't like the way they use it as like a crutch, just get away with stuff. Well, it wasn't clear and obvious. I mean, what is clear and obvious?
Mm.
I mean, it's like, it's not clear and obvious what clear and obvious is. And I think that's the problem that we have with VAR, right?
It's got to be clear and obvious. What is it? We don't know. Okay. Anyway, yeah, let's move on to Palace Brighton. Just a draw.
Yeah, well, it's nothing to say, but that was it. 0-0.
Just 0-0. Move on.
Well, no, look, again, I think if you're Palace, you're disappointed because they've been doing pretty well.
I know. But and if you're Brighton,
kind of cancel each other out a little bit.
I think so. I was actually expecting goals to be in that, like, you know, two sides that like attacking. I was expecting, you know, a bit more goals in that game, but hey, that happens. That's why it's just right in the middle. Forest and Leeds. Sean Dyche.
Yeah.
What has Sean Dyche done that Ange couldn't do? And for some reason, Nuno Espirito Santo saw him, you know, lose his job. What is that Dyche? What do you think Dyche has brought?
Sancho, yeah, I mean, look.
I mean, Santa didn't
lose his job because of the way they were playing.
It affected the way they were playing, though. Whatever.
But ultimately, I think it was more a personality thing. He just had a falling out with him, didn't he? And that's why he ended up leaving. I don't know. It's about stability, isn't it? When things are not going right and you're heading in the wrong direction, sometimes you've got to bring somebody in to just steady the ship again, haven't you?
I think
you back on course. And I think that seems to be, I mean, just go back to simple things. Forest already had good players. Yeah, we know they've got a good team. Yeah. We know that. So it's just get the simple things right again. Just start doing the basics right. And I think that Dyche is a good manager for doing the basics. Like, so let's just defend well. Right?
Yeah.
And let's just play, you know, you don't need to play crazy. He's not an extravagant manager, is he?
He's not
the kind of manager you're going to talk about, like all the, you know, the crazy stuff they're doing on the training ground and all these, you know, really
doing experimental stuff with formations. It's just strictly go out there.
It's like, this is how you play football. Let's just play football.
Exactly.
Right? Let's keep it simple and do the basics right. And then, you know, good things will happen. But again, against Leeds, you'd be expecting Forest to win that. They're going into that at home thinking, we've got to win this one. If they're in any kind of situation where they might be concerned about, you know, being in relegation battles or anything like that, then these are definitely the games you have to be winning, aren't they?
Yeah. Well, they asked Dyche about Omari Hutchinson, one of the players he was signed from Ipswich, obviously. And they asked him, you know, what did you say to him? And he literally, Dyche's, you know, go out there and have fun. Mm. I love that. Just nothing, you know, like, I want you to mark this guy. I want you to do this. I want more overlapping runs. It's just, you know, just go out there and have fun.
And he did.
And he did. And you had a very, very good game. So anyway, let's, well done to them.
Also, Gibbs White's, you know, picked up man of the match and had a decent game as well.
And has been left out of England.
Mm.
Weird one, that.
Well, but
he did get a call.
But he hadn't been, I mean, they hadn't been doing really well and he hadn't been doing, you know, not as well as he usually has.
As he usually does, right? So high expectations.
Yeah, so.
I mean, that's a bit unfair. You know, his high expectations have seen him drop down because he hasn't reached. I mean, what does he have to do? Because you could make the argument Bellingham hasn't been at the top of his game. You know, that central midfield position should be for the taking. And Gibbs White is playing week in, week out in the Premier League. You should make the argument that actually he should be allowed into the squad. But hey, c'est la vie, he's been left out. But I'm sure I can see him going to the World Cup. Okay, here's what we've been waiting for.
Well, I haven't been waiting for it.
I've not really been waiting for this. So, apparently City haven't beaten us for 4 games. And so, this win came off the 4-game winless run. Okay. First and foremost, soft penalty.
Yeah, I mean, look.
I've seen... I don't know. I've got to keep this kosher, obviously. But I have seen some crunching tackles in the past and nothing had been given. If you remember from last season or 2 seasons ago, Jeremy Doku, literal, you know, boot in McAllister's chest.
Yeah.
Last minute, nothing was given. You know, the irony of that, they use that that picture as an example of high foot. And many people actually came back saying, you know, you gave nothing for that challenge, right? And the Premier League were like, sorry.
Don't have a clue, do they?
Don't have a clue.
No, they don't have a clue. I think, yeah, really soft penalty. In fairness, they didn't score it, but ultimately still, it's you know, you need to get these decisions right. And then obviously the disallowed goal as well was complete craziness.
Okay, which one do we want to talk about first? Disallowed goal or Mr. Mo Salah? The Salah conundrum. Well, I've got written down the Salah conundrum.
Well, I think let's start with the disallowed goal because, again, And you know, we're not the only ones that have said this because this has been brought up before, but, you know, a very similar thing happened with City. Probably more so
Bernardo Silva against Wolves.
Yeah, a reason to disallow right in front of the goalkeeper.
He was backing into the keeper. He was literally making contact with the keeper and then ducked at the very last minute. And that was allowed to stand. Whereas this one, Robertson, you could argue a couple of meters away from the keeper. He was not close to him.
Ducked to get out of the way a bit.
Look,
it was a great finish. The goalkeeper obviously could see it because it was off. The ball was off to his right. There was nobody
committed
in front of him. Yeah, in fact, the only person that was in front of him or blocking his line of view was one of his own players.
Mm-hmm.
But he did see it because he planted his foot.
Yeah,
he went right, planted his foot, and then immediately went back the other way.
Yeah,
it was a really well placed header. So it's a shame that it didn't count. Ultimately, that makes it 1-1. Does it change the result? Probably not.
We played poorly.
We weren't great.
Ultimately,
at all.
No, we weren't great. We made some chances, but we weren't great. But situations like that change a game.
It could change momentum. And then say, yeah, maybe we don't play that poorly for the rest of the game.
Yeah.
You know, maybe it picks us up and we're like, right, we're back in this. Now there's a fight on.
And Etihad is not a is a place that you need something. And I think ultimately after that, game was poor. It was just, it was, you know, they pick up a second goal, poor, you know, deflection off Van Dijk. And I think the writing was just on the wall. Jeremy Doku was, I mean, you got to give him his dues. He was incredible. But we made him look good.
We made it too easy for him. And he exploited an area of the pitch. I mean, look, Pep is not silly. He is a good manager. I mean, he's a arguably one of the best, right?
1,000th game. We should give him that. Give him his dues.
So he's looked at the videos and he's like, well, where can we do them damage? He knows they need to...
The same place every other team.
Yeah, well...
has been exploiting.
Well, no, but you know, they're not exploiting the long balls, are they?
No.
But they are exploiting a side of the pitch where we are. And that brings us into the other part of it. We were poor on that right-hand side. And mainly because we didn't have the defensive cover to handle it. And that's a problem.
Well, I think we've said this several times. We are in debt to what Salah has done for the club. And this isn't a question of disrespect for what Salah has done for us. But unfortunately, I think the leeway he's been given leaves us open in that position. It means... Yeah, I'm sorry to say this, but it means, and I feel sometimes when I watch, it feels like you're watching 10 men playing against 11 most of the time because Salah is just doesn't feel like he's that involved. It feels like he's waiting for something. And yes, we know something can come of it. You know, Salah, he can pop up with the great assist or a goal or something of that nature. But unfortunately, right now, I don't think he deserves a place in the side.
No, again. Been saying this for a while. I think more people are jumping on that kind of idea now. Mm. And absolutely, I think you need to have a complete team performance, certainly against a team like City.
Everyone.
You can't expect... Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, there are no easy games, but you can't expect just your right back to handle what's going on down that side of the pitch and not get back and get involved in it.
Yeah.
And when he is kind of half getting involved in things, he's just kind of like jogging around. He's not really going for it. There's no intensity there to win
just,
that ball back.
He's kind of saving himself, isn't he?
Like he'll get in there, quickly nick the ball off him and then sprint up the other end.
Yeah.
You're not kind of seeing that thing from him, and that's what made him a really, really great player, is he'd go back, he'd win the ball and he'd make stuff happen.
Mm.
Now, as you said, he's more waiting for things to happen.
Yeah.
You don't have that long ball from Trent at right back anymore.
No.
Smashing that ball, you know, for him to run onto.
Hold on, stop right there. I don't want to feed into what my friends have already been saying that Trent has been a pivotal factor for us, because admitting that
that is exactly what he would do.
He would
fly those balls down the right hand side.
To admit that Trent is somehow being the reason why
the problems are a lot bigger than
there are
that.
Bigger reasons.
Yeah, exactly. It's more, I think it is more about the fact there isn't enough defensive cover. I think we've got big players who aren't playing well. They're just not performing.
And Kanate had a shocker, didn't he?
He's had many shockers this season.
He's another shocker.
He's another player that should be dropped as far as I'm concerned.
But who replaces him?
Gomez.
I know Gomez, but I feel like Gomez is... Gomez, unfortunately, is made of glass. And, you know, Gomez...
Use him.
He's there, but I don't see Gomez playing an entire...
Chuck Endo in at centre-back.
Endo at centre-back.
Why not? He's done it before.
I'll say one thing, actually, about Endo. Before he came to the Premier League, you know, he had a very good success header rate, winning headers.
Yeah.
So actually, he might generally be someone that we might need to go against those long balls.
He's had barely any game time this
season. No,
I mean,
Chiesa,
obviously not defensive, but should be getting some more game time, I think.
Yeah.
Give him an option. He's just turned down playing for Italy for whatever reasons. Mm. He's obviously not having a great time of it, but I mean, you give him game time. You get him so he can stay fit enough to be somebody we can use.
And
we're not doing that. He's not getting enough game. He did come on in that game, in fairness, towards the end. But
do you think that Slot will be worried about just the fact that there's an issue going on right now? From everyone's perspective, it's drop Salah. But he doesn't want to do that. But if things continue, do you think, you know, that there is a worry on his side that actually... I don't want to say that, you know, it's not us, but could his job be on the line?
I doubt it. I don't, and certainly not this season. Look, I think ultimately it's tricky. You want him to make the tough decisions and just, you know, at least test it. Say, all right, so we're just going to drop you for a little while. We're going to try this out and see if we can sort things out, right? Whatever. The problem is, and I think you mentioned it when we were talking the other day, is that Salah is the kind of player, he won't take that very well. And he, you know, the toys might get thrown out the pram a little bit if he gets dropped in Premier League games.
He will drop us from his socials. He will make cryptic messages. It all feels like...
So is it that they're trying not to be in a situation where it could end up causing more problems behind the scenes? Because this is, it's quite...
We've broken our wage bill. Like, what more does he need? Like, do we need to build a statue of... And he probably... does deserve a statue. If anyone deserves a statue, it's him. But this is a team performance. And unfortunately right now, Salah just isn't playing very well to deserve starting.
That's exactly right. If players aren't performing, then they need to be dropped regardless of who they are.
Yeah.
You know, there's no one too big for the club. So I think ultimately it needs to happen. Will it happen? I'm not sure. I thought by now he might have already kind of made these decisions. He's already kind of gone back to that midfield trio again, which people were crying out
which
for.
Which we needed, yeah.
Which we needed, exactly. So, you know, how long will it go on before it's like, okay, well, I've really got to make changes here?
Well, we've got an international break. Let's hope something happens after this international break, because after last international break, you know, it happened just, you know, we had United before or after the break and we lost, and that was a big one as well. And you'd hope after this international break, this breaks whatever juju, whatever curse has been placed on us. Because it's five losses. This is, you know, my last question about us before, you know, I want to ask you a couple of questions about VAR. But do you think we're out of the title race?
I think if we keep playing the way we're playing, then absolutely. I mean, look, mathematically, we can absolutely bring it back.
We could.
Yeah, it's not looking great, but there's loads of games left to play. Mm. So unless he makes changes, it's not going to happen, is it?
No.
Because is the thing, if you keep leaving it, it is going to be too late.
Yeah.
So ultimately, we start playing better, we find a bit of form, then maybe, we can get a bit of momentum. We've got decent players, but certain players aren't playing well. I think he needs to make changes at the back. I think that might be a big one for us as well. We needed more defensive cover this season, and we didn't do it. And I think that might...
was pivotal, wasn't it? Not signing Gay, possibly.
Losing Leone was a shame as well, because he could have at least done a job for us.
He's an option. Yeah,
exactly. He's there, right? So, I think ultimately just defensively, we're not great, and you've got Konate, who's been a bit of a liability. Van Dijk, who, you know, is getting older and is not as good as he was. You know, you've got obviously the Salah issue. You've tried to bed in a load of new players, and it hasn't really worked yet. It hasn't. I mean, I think this is looking like it's going to be more of a transitional season for us. Like, okay, let's just try and stay there.
Exactly. Let's the transition there. We should have had last season, but we didn't. We won the league last season.
Yeah. So, you know. Obviously, Slot's got that in the bank, hasn't he? So I don't think there's any talk of, like, you know...
I know, we're not that kind of club, but I think there are, you know, having all of these losses, succession. I mean, if the losses were spread out throughout the season, possibly not. But the fact that it's been week by week, loss.
It's not a bad thing if you can fix it. If you use that time to say, right, what's the problem here? Let's fix it now.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm already seeing us linked with defenders in January, right? So
they need that.
And, you know, they're throwing numbers like 80 million out there again. And
80 million for who?
Barossi, I think his name is. Some Italian guy, I can't remember. The point is, when I was talking about identity earlier on, I said I was going to come around to it.
Oh, yeah, there we go.
I don't think throwing hundreds of millions of pounds at players
is the way we do things.
That's
historically
not, and I think you pay a bit of money. Sometimes you pay a bit of money for good players. Obviously, we've done that over the years, but like the amount of money we threw at it to try and maintain this title for me didn't feel right at the time.
Yeah,
I think we did more like, oh, let's go for the name. I mean, I don't know why we brought Isak in. We just bought Ekotiko. It had a great start, and you're thinking,
yeah.
I know we technically needed to replace. We needed another striker,
but
we could have very easily just brought in somebody else who was going to play more of a rotational role instead of bringing in two first team players.
Yeah,
who you've probably guaranteed Ekotike, right? You're going to be a starter for us.
Yeah,
and then you've brought in
and he has
Isak
been
as well.
In fairness, being starting, it's not as if Ekotike has, you know, has been
like but he was hurt. Dropped as soon as Isak came in.
He was dropped, but also he was dropped after the red card as well, and you know he lost his space. But I think a lot of this also hinges on us planning for the life without Mo Salah, and it, again, it doesn't sound very nice, but we actually can't wait for the African Cup of Nations just so Salah can.
That is one thing actually, because yeah, that is going
to
come.
It might be quite nice just to, you know. Go well, away for a little bit and just let's try and play without him and see what it's like. And
well, that's
traditionally
easy,
we've been
that's
fine.
An easy out for slot, isn't it? Waiting until that comes and then, right, okay, now we can see.
Something's got to give before then, right?
But this is it. But
you have to be brave.
It's definitely too late by then.
Yeah.
If we keep doing what we're doing now.
Yeah.
Definitely too late. Because, of course, we will have that time where we'll have to deal without him being there.
Yeah.
And I ultimately think we will probably play better. I think because we'll have, if you're playing, let's say, Frimpong, who again has had a bit of injury problems this season, which is a shame. But if you're playing him in that Salah role, he will get back and help out.
Absolutely. He's naturally a defender as well, but more defensive rather than a defender. I think he's a wing back, firstly.
Well, he was playing as a wing back, but I always thought of him more as a winger.
As a winger. But I completely agree. I think a Frimpong, Conor Bradley combo situation is exactly what we need because both players will complement each other.
Yeah, I think so. And what we need again is that electric pace down one side of the pitch.
Absolutely.
And Frimpong is definitely quick.
He's quick.
He hasn't had a great deal of game time this season. Well, he hasn't, you know, hopefully he can stay injury free. And yeah, maybe we can turn things around a bit and start getting a bit of momentum back. And then we'll see what happens. Who knows?
Let's see. Okay, I know we're running for time. I've got to run, in fairness. I do teach. It's my day job.
Talking about football all day.
VAR, how do we, you know, going back to the inconsistencies of VAR, what would be your number one thing for sorting VAR out? Scrapping it or keeping it and tweaking it so it actually works? What do you think is the best way of dealing with VAR?
I think for offsides and stuff like that, it's a good idea. I think, you know, make it fair. Semi-automated, even better, because then you don't have to rely on people.
Yeah.
Sadly, I don't think a lot of these people that are, you know, officiating these games really know what's going on. I think a better option would be have ex-professionals do it.
Behind the VAR
behind VAR. Not ref in the games. You can still keep refs out there or whatever.
Yeah.
But to work with the refs.
Okay.
Right? To give them, you know, a slightly different perspective on it. Also, you know, just do a voting system or something, right? So you've got four or five people in there. All right, what do we think on this one? Boom, 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 there we go, do that. Because I think, they're not getting them right, are they?
No.
I don't know.
How about a time limit on VAR? If you cannot come to a decision within this period of time, stick with the on-field decision. Because it means, you know, if you're looking for decisions for, you know, 2-3 minutes, you're looking for mistakes. You're looking for an error and you can't find one. Move on. I think that's something else that some people have been throwing out in terms of, or even, you know, just stick to precedent. If you've made a decision, if this has been okay in previous games, maybe it's fine in future games. Because right now, for me, it's the inconsistencies that's killing it for me.
Yeah, it'd be cool if you could have a quick comparison to say, right, we've deemed it this way.
We gave a goal for this 2 seasons ago. We gave a goal for this week or last week. This stands.
Yeah, but again, it is consistency. They need to be clear on everything. Like what?
Handballs.
Yeah, so study the situations. Look, in this situation, is this a goal or is this not a goal? For example, I mean, because when you're saying it's like line of sight, it says in there it's blocking line of sight. I mean,
he wasn't
blocking line of sight,
was
he?
Andy Robertson, of course.
Yeah,
he wasn't.
Go back to that, and that's what I mean. It's just things like that. It needs to be consistent. He's not blocking line of sight. Okay, so tick that, you know, cross that one off. It's not that. Okay, yeah, he's close-ish to the goalkeeper, but he's not right in front of him. You know, he's not touched the ball.
He's not touching the keeper. He's not in line of sight. And then when you take that and then you look at the Bernardo Silva situation, the version where that was allowed, and you look at that and you think, but that one's worse.
You're saying... earlier on to me about, you know, it being subjective. This is what they're saying. Well, it's subjective.
Subjective.
It could have gone either way. And it's like, well, that's not helpful,
that's
is it?
Not helpful.
That is not helpful.
That's
in
not
football.
What people want to hear.
Yeah, that's not what people want to hear. And no. That is not helpful in making decisions.
Mm.
It's subjective. Well, it could be either way. Well, again, that's no help to us, is it? It needs to be one way or the other. Either it is or it isn't.
Mm-hmm.
Otherwise, it's, yeah, you might as well just not bother having it.
Yeah.
To be honest. Because if it's just going to be that, well, you know, just let the ref do it then. Just go back to how it was before. Let the ref and the linesmen do it and scrap it all together. And then it will be the same outcome, won't it? Because it's not really making it any better. Certainly, I mean, I do think that the offsides and stuff, fine.
Automated now, obviously.
Automated now as well, which is great. That's exactly what you want. Take as much away from them as possible. But ultimately, if some of these decisions, I mean, that offside decision that we had, was it against Spurs a few seasons back?
Oh, I don't even want to think about
mental.
That. I still get, and I don't understand. People will probably wonder why do these things make you so angry? But I still get deep anger thinking about the fact that Luis Diaz scored a perfectly fine onside goal. They realized they made a mistake. And didn't bring the game back. Mm. And that's the kind of thing that wins and loses you leagues, especially because we then conceded later on from an own goal. And we fought back, and, you know, we went back 10 men. Jones was sent off for a jubilee. It was, you know, the very fact that I'm talking about this means that I still play the game back in my head.
But this is the point, though. If we're still having exactly the same kind of mistakes that we had before VAR came in for these kind of decisions, then it doesn't make any sense to have it. They need to get it right. And it needs to be stone wall right. It can't be subjective. This either is or it isn't. Yeah, he either is doing what the rule book says he shouldn't be doing, mm-hmm. or isn't. All
yeah,
right? I know it's not. I mean, it is in certain things. It is as simple as that. I think for something like that disallowed goal. I think that's simple as. Here's an example of where it was given. Here's an example of when it's given. It should be given. Right, boom, done.
Here we go. Maybe what someone should do is print off. Different scenarios.
Yeah.
So then they can just have a quick look.
They have
and
a
say,
quick reference book.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. That we gave it for that. Oh, yeah. We gave this. Oh,
2019.
Yeah.
Or whatever it was.
We gave a red card for that. Okay. We'll follow and press it. Oh, yeah. We gave an offside for that one. Oh, yeah. Oh, we disallowed that one for that.
We live in a world of AI now where that can analyze it all for
you. They can analyze
it for
you.
Quickly look at this video. Find me. I don't like it, but at the end of the day.
I know.
At the end of the day, AI, this is the world. This is the world we live in now, isn't it?
Right? I want it to be.
For quick references and things like that, because otherwise you've got like those guys going through books. Oh yeah, here's one.
Yeah.
we'll be like 20 minutes later.
But then again, if they can't come to a decision in X amount of time, it's just move on. Anyway,
so get a timer going. Everyone's counting down.
Well, exactly. Nine. Or you have challenges for VAR. Like you have an X amount of challenge. Like you know, a manager will say, we definitely want a challenge. Then you get like, you know, three challenges a game, for example. You know, some people are making a point that maybe they want to make football more like other sports, which I don't like because football is football. And I don't want a situation where football...
Moved that way when
I know,
we
but football
this,
is like cricket or football's like tennis. Football is football. But some of these decisions are just shocking, is the word I will use. Devoid of personality and identity, to end on the word of the day, identity. Thank you very much for listening. We won't be here next week because it's Internacional. Boo, internationals. We don't really like that, do we? Yeah, I know, right? Boo. But hopefully, yeah, we'll be back again for game week 12 in a couple of weeks or so. But anyway, thank you for listening. Bye-bye.
Bye.